Hello, everyone around the world. This is the Mike and Abe Show. And Mike, have you heard the news?
There's a buffet of news. The news about which news?
The news about it's all over social media this morning. Delete Uber.
Delete Uber. I love it. Yeah, it's about time.
Well, here's the story as I've got it, you know, not eyewitness to it, but what I'm reading in the newspapers and hearing on TV and such, or on the internet, I should say. It seems that there were some immigrants that were being pushed out of the country due to our president's mandate to not allow them to stay in the country. Okay.
Right.
So, all the taxi drivers that were at JFK yesterday got up and protested and refused to service Terminal 4. Okay.
Right.
So Uber took advantage of the situation with their surge pricing. Right. All right. So that was it. That was it. It's all over social media. Delete Uber.
Well, let me tell you something. They've done that a few times. And first of all, as far as the immigration strike at JFK Terminal 4, the way it was done to keep these people who were coming over out of the country, like when they get to the gate of the U.S. after flying overseas, then they say, oh, sorry, you got to go back. So that right there, that's a little strange. I mean, the big picture is it's a very weird, you know, immigration policy out of the blue. Anything like that should be phased in or discussed. You don't know, but these executive orders just keep chopping down, and now we got a mess. But the glimmer of hope with all that is people are finally seeing the Uber stuff for what it is.
Yeah.
And the cabbies were representing, as they say on the street, and stood up for their fellow drivers. Even though those drivers may not have immigration problems, they did stand up for their fellow cabbies, because we got to work for these people and with these people, and the other it's fair is fair. So the cabbies did the right thing and they joined the work stoppage. But as far as Uber again is in the height of a emergency situation. We're doubling the rates. We're saying cars available, and these are the same drivers who were driving Uber cars who theoretically should have been joining the protest. So. Once again, Uber reveals its true colors, and if nothing else good comes out of the demonstration, the mask is off, that Uber hopefully is going down the tuber once and for all.
Well, that would be Goober.
Going to call them Tuber.
Uh-huh.
Tuber car service.
All right, so anyway.
Well, Abe, once again, you're on the cutting edge with the latest taxi news. And we see all over the place that not only does Uber or Tuber or Uber, whatever they call themselves now, have problems with their passengers, they also have a lot of competition coming out. I mean, they did not invent the wheel. It's not that big a deal. And their reputation is a service business, and now their reputation is down the drain because people are saying, they're scabbies, as they say.
Yeah.
They are scabbing the fellow drivers. And I've always respected the line. Whenever there's a cab thing going on. I mean, I may not agree, but if the cabbies are upset and it's going to be an hour or two investment of my time, no big deal. All right? I'm not going to go around the corner and say, yo, come over here and try and hustle somebody for triple the rate, which apparently some guys did. I mean, the scum always floats to the top, as was the case with some of these so-called gypsy cab drivers out there who were just gouging the public. And once again, I got to ask you something. Where were the police at JFK? I mean, do we still have police at JFK? I mean, that was National Guard stuff there. And I'm wondering how thousands of demonstrators with signs and no airline tickets get into the airport for an event like this. I mean, was that at what point did the police say, hey, Joe, there's something going on here? I mean, you got thousands of people with signs at Terminal 4.
It was pre-planned.
It was pre-planned, but I mean, where is the intel on this? I mean, was this did they have like some pre-planned friends in the background here? Or
this was all promoted by the NYWTA, Taxi Workers Alliance. Okay.
I don't know. Well, it was promoted from the cab driver standpoint, but I don't know what the other people. I mean, I got a late blooming email or Twitter. I got a late blooming tweet.
Yeah.
So it was like 6 hours ago, and it said, "We, the people of the," and you know, fill in the blank, are going to demonstrate at JFK Terminal 4. So it was about 6 hour advance notice before this thing actually took place. And apparently, in their wisdom, the Port Authority let these people pour into the airport. And, you know, I mean, I like I said, I understand people defending their rights. But at the same time, there's a guy trying to get to his family who is not in the jackpot with immigration and who is an immigrant. So what about the immigrant who came off the plane with all his proper paperwork? He can't meet his wife. He can't meet his kids. And, you know, it's a little strange for
Well, look, this accomplished...
Dare I say, allow this to happen. You know what I mean?
This accomplished two things. Number one, it accomplished the fact that you can't just deny people access after they have, you know, completed all the proper vetting. Okay?
Right.
That's number one. And they went to federal court and got an injunction, okay, late last night, I believe. Okay, and and that ended the whole demonstration, you know, when these people were allowed into the country, okay? That's number one. And number two, it showed Uber for its true colors. Okay?
What a joke.
You know, the true colors, which we all know, which we have known for the longest time, okay? You know, they're desperate. They're desperate, Mike, okay? I mean, they saw an opportunity to gouge some money, and they went for it, okay?
Well, you know, you wonder if they do have like a bean counter up there and say, listen, we're going to catch hell, but we're going to get 20% of everything. Let's go get them. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Because
it's like, on the one hand, you're like, well, from a publicity standpoint, we should stand back and say, you know, we're going to, but from a other standpoint, they're like, hey, you know, we can jack up the rate. Then they send out a taxi to, we're not going to surge price between, like, hey, are you going to pick people up? You're going to pick people up. You're going to group ride. So they said, we're not going to surge price, but I mean, it just, these kids who are demonstrating, a lot of them are college kids. A lot of them are like, you know, swear by the whole Uber thing. And you got to say, look, if you want to be righteous, you got to look at the people who are like fighting against you in your time of need. And in my opinion, Uber's one of those people. I mean, God knows we've had this conversation before, I'm glad the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, well, let's see where this leads. Okay, it's all over Twitter. It's all over Facebook. Okay. I guess the other social media, as they call it. I'm not a big social media fan, but I guess at times it is helpful. Okay?
Right.
Because I tweeted it. I tweeted and retweeted. Okay? And I faced it and Facebooked it. Okay?
Oh, you did? You're a Facebooker, right?
I don't Facebook a lot. Okay? But I do have a Facebook account, okay? So I immediately went there, and immediately you get reactions. You know, people like it, people like it, people like it, okay?
Well, I got news for the people out there in internet radio land. The headlines on the taxi news site, which you are on this site right now, if you go to the headlines, dude, you have posted a cornucopia of very eclectic news with cabs. I mean, there's any thing that you want to know that's going on in the taxi business right now is on the NYC taxi news site. You go to the headlines news, we got some wild stories. I mean, just rattling them off. The JFK thing with the demonstration. De Blasio stuck in neutral with the wheelchair users. We've been saying that for a long time. This guy... The city is selling wheelchair cabs, forcing cabbies to buy wheelchair cabs to help the business. Like, first of all, where are the customers? Nobody sees any business for the most part from these people. There's a few fares here and there, but also there's no drop off and pickup zones with all this painting they're doing on the streets. You think there'd be at least a few wheelchair painted spaces, and then Uber. At what point does Uber get forced to pick up the handicapped? I mean, they have a little reputation of not picking up a lot of other folks too, which I don't want to say on the air, but you get the message. But as far as people in wheelchairs, they're trying to kick the can down the road. They're trying to give it to the yellow cabs and to the green cabs. No, I said, no. You have to be compliant too. There's something called equal protection under the law, and that's what we've been trying to say all along.
Mm-hmm.
We got the chairperson of the TLC saying, "Oh, well, we encourage competition. Great. If you encourage competition, give us equal protection under the law. If we can have the same rules as Uber, Uber goes away." That's all it comes down to. I mean, this is so simple.
Well, I would rather Uber has the same rules as us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because that would protect – our rules are designed to protect the public.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because how can they possibly say they're not going to fingerprint Uber drivers? Are they nuts? I mean, you got to be kidding.
Well, it's more than that. It's just the surge pricing and the and everything else they do, okay? The non-compliance with the giving the information to the city, you know, like we do with the TPEP and the LPEP, okay?
Right.
All right. I mean, the TLC knows at any given moment where we are. You know, oh, you want to know where 7J 953 is? Okay. Let's see. Oh, he's on the Long Island Expressway right now. Okay.
Right. You want to know where 15,000 cab drivers are? They're at the Terminal 4 JFK right now.
Yeah. Listen, I just got an email here that I'm reading. It's from a big supporter of NYC Taxi News, and let me read this. The email is titled "An Idea for the Hotel Problem." Give out business cards to cab drivers waiting at hotels. Cabs are there all the time. Print business cards with a message like, "It is illegal for a doorman to give a hotel guest a black car without prearrangement." Uh-huh.
I like it.
If you see a hotel doorman giving a fare to a black car to black cars illegally, then call and list the steps. In other words,
If I do this, can I dress up like Batman?
You can dress any way you want. You can go there naked. I don't care. Just get the job done, okay?
All right, military style.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. I like that. That's a good idea. Say, it's like, morning, maybe, you can't even give it to the doorman to hand out.
Mm-hmm.
He would do that?
I don't think the doorman will hand it out, no. Because they're the ones that are causing, you know, they're in on the scam. Okay.
Maybe you could bribe the doorman to hand out business cards to say that you shouldn't bribe a doorman. I mean,
yeah.
How's that for the sex?
Yeah, I see that this email went also to a Taxi Dave, okay? And, you know, hopefully he'll announce it on his show tonight, okay?
Okay.
You know, along with the compliment to the Park Central Hotel, who has gone all yellow.
Yes, I drove by there the other day,
and
apparently, the kids, cover your ears, the Park Central Hotel has made a corporate decision to rein in the bullshit, because for a long time, all you saw were these bogus black cars sitting in rows. I mean, not even one or two. We're talking about maybe they're sitting, like stacked, and the yellow cab couldn't get anything. So now, apparently, management said, excuse me, Mr. Doorman, what's going on? Then the doorman goes into like a Jackie Gleason and a hamana,
right.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's not a good answer, sir.
Well, he should have looked in the doorman's pocket if he wanted to know what's going on, all right?
Yeah. It's like when the manager's making $85,000 and the doorman's making $100,000, you got to say, hey, chief, you know, something a little wrong with the math here, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you see the doorman with a big belly and he's a skinny guy, it's like, listen, you can't walk around with thousands of dollars in your belly. But hopefully these are all things that will help us in the future, because I do want to thank the Park Central. And the one thing I want to say, I don't need to blab too much. You called me, as they say.
Right.
But the problem is, at what point did a hotel big shot say, listen, we're charging our customers $400 a night, and they're getting harassed at the door by some guy who walked in off the street and is pointing them to an unlicensed black car on the side of the hotel and charging them $100. Get this guy out of here.
Well,
these people aren't going to come back.
It's a matter of how aware are they of this, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I
well,
mean,
they're aware now.
I mean, well, you know, well, the Park Central Hotel evidently found out what was going on and decided that they are going to do the right thing, and they did. You know, but do the other hotels, and I won't name any names, but the does the management and the CEOs of the other hotels, are they aware of what goes on? Probably not. Okay.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this is a good question because. Again, I allude to the point that if they want repeat guests to come back to their hotel, and that repeat guest is getting charged $400 a night for a room in the hotel, then he goes downstairs and the doorman says, "Oh no, you can't take that cab. Just only to." And who is this guy? Where did this guy come from? Who hires the hotel doorman? Because apparently, there's some chicanery. I heard a few of these guys start the corruption by buying their job. All right, it's not the most qualified person. But a couple of guys told me, I said, "Wow, how do you get a job here? It looks like a great place to work." He goes, "Well, you got to pay." I said, "What do you mean, like?" "No, you have to give a guy, like, money to work here." So it starts off with tipping somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that continues down the road. So then, you know, apparently you get a doorman now who might be in a situation, if they get a job, where now they can't take tips from the bogus limo drivers. So he's not going to be happy about that. But bleep him. The hotel and the guests have a right, and the cab drivers have a right, to, you know, live and work in peace, because this nonsense is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll see. But all I know, yesterday was a huge, huge turnout at JFK Terminal 4. And again, just wondering why the Port Authority allowed this to happen, and at what point would the bell go off and say, "Listen, we got quite a crowd out here. They're in the middle of the street. They're standing next to the cab line," and blah, blah, blah. I mean, at what point does the... connect the dots things start to happen. But apparently, I guess, nothing
happened. Well, look, maybe the Port Authority decided, well, maybe this needs to be done. And they laid off.
Maybe this needs to be done.
You know?
Well, maybe that's interesting. That's an interesting point. Maybe the airport said, "Listen, this this quick overnight policy is going to be a huge pain in the neck."
Right.
So maybe they were semi-compliant with that to say, I'm not saying they were. I'm just saying maybe, because if you keep... like super vetting people. It's one thing to vet people, but if you keep like super vetting people coming in, you're not going to be able to. Nobody's going to be able to move at all. So maybe it was just they said, "Listen, we'll take a punch. We'll let the demonstration happen. We'll make a point." But the first judge that hit the injunction against the Trump edict or executive order was an Obama appointee, mm-hmm. And now the second judge in line, if this case goes up the ladder to be appealed, is a Clinton appointee. So he's gonna lose. He's got two judges to get by first.
Mm.
And that's the problem with the legal system, is once something is decided, it's not decided anymore. And I think it's way too many judges, way too many courts, way too many lawyers, dare I say. Well, we need good attorneys and we need good lawyers, but some of these characters, it's never going to end. So whatever's going to happen with this, it's going to be an injunction, it's going to be another injunction, then it's going to be a green light and blah, 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 Supreme Court. It's going to be all this rigmarole. And I think the whole thing could have been settled out of court with a little more tact. But I don't think Trump is the tact guy.
Yeah, well, you know, the jury is out on all this. And the delete Uber part is the best thing that came out of this.
And and delete Uber, if nothing else.
Delete Uber.
We can help make America stronger. Delete Uber.
In fact,
and fingerprint their drivers.
In fact, if you go to the news page of NYC Taxi News, on January 29th, it's dated 129. There is an article: how to delete your Uber account with complete instructions. Okay. if you don't know how to do it, okay, it appears that you have to do more than just delete it from your smartphone. You have to actually delete the account, okay?
Right.
You know, so that they don't have your information anymore. Okay.
I hate to say it, but I think some of these millennials who are screaming about delete Uber, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, but the only thing is they could use Lyft and some of the other apps, maybe our apps, our wonderful apps where I get one call every 2 months.
Well, maybe we'll get some more. We need to have the Arrow app, the Curb app, and the Wait Your Ride app, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, one app, I'm not going to say who, but one app is doing very well and the other app is not doing very well. So I'm hoping the other app can catch up without getting into too much
you know,
detail.
Sometimes it takes time, you know, and I anybody could walk out on the street and get a yellow cab, okay? Anybody, you know, I read an article a couple of weeks ago where this guy was saying, or actually I saw the guy on TV on one of the news stations, and he was talking about how he calls Uber, and a sea of Toyota Camrys are out there, and he's going, "Are you my Uber? Are you my Uber? Are you my Uber?" You know, and he says, "What do I need this for? I just jump in a yellow cab," he says, you know. They're all my cab. You know, they're empty, they're mine. You know?
That sounds like a song. Are you my Uber?
Are you my Uber? I think I'll take a taxi. Okay?
You know, it'd be great if you walked over to a guy who, like, spoke three words of English and said, "Are you my Uber? What? Are you my Uber? What are you saying? Are you my Uber?" Maybe it means something in another language somewhere. Who knows?
I don't know. Are you my Uber? But he said, "What do I need to look at all of these cars and try to figure out which one is mine?" He says, "When there's a bunch of yellow cabs sitting looking straight there, you walk out in the street, you just get in one." He says, "You don't even have to ask permission. You just open the door and get in, right?"
I guess.
No, that's the way it's always been.
With what?
With the taxis.
Oh, with the taxis, yeah.
You just open the door and get in. If the taxi's empty, okay, you know, you just get in. You know, the guy's on duty, his doors are open, you get in. You don't have to ask, are you my taxi? No, you don't have to do that.
Right.
You know, get in. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, people would come up to me sometimes when I was working, they'd say, "Can you take me to?" I go, "Just get in." I said, before they could open their mouth, where they're going, I don't want to hear where you're going, just get in. We'll discuss
that's
it.
That's like me with with Atlantic City jobs. I get a lot of my out-of-town jobs when I'm like the third or fourth cab online because all these guys, I don't know what they're thinking. They're snobs. Mm-hmm. It's like, "Oh, I'm not going to go there for $150. Like, dude, I will practically go anywhere for $150 a cab. You know, if so, it's not ridiculous. And you get these guys, "Oh, no, that's too cheap." And it's like, "Goodbye."
Yeah.
And off we go.
Yeah,
but this is... you know, this is the way it works today. I mean, that's another thing is, you talk about JFK. My friend of mine, he had a situation with one of the dispatchers because they don't know the rules. Apparently, the old dispatch company, Gateway, is no longer running the show. Now,
right.
Gateway had a contract with the Port Authority, which I did some homework yesterday, which, according to what I saw in public records, expired at the end of last year. So Gateway, when all this stuff of developing a taxi dispatch system, developing a computerized system, and then another company swooped in and said, "Wow, you did a great job. Goodbye." So they went through all this processing of putting in a computerized kiosk terminal dispatch system for the dispatchers, and then their contract was up. And then the new company came in and got the new bid. And this new company is a huge, huge airport company. So what means now is they're hiring their own people, and they're hiring some dispatchers, apparently, with zero taxi experience, either driving or riding cabs, and they're making everybody crazy. They have a few of the old guard left, but most of the new people, I think they're grossly underpaid, and I think the previous dispatchers just left, because they probably came in and say, "Okay, from now on you're going to be making X minus versus X." So there's been some dust-ups, and a friend of mine had a problem at Terminal 4, believe it or not, the day before the big demonstration. And he said that a guy wanted to go from JFK to Oceanside, which I think is kind of like a five towns thing. And the dispatcher usually knows it's right over the line. They'll give you a shorty ticket, which allows you to come back right away. But they didn't want to do that. And he told him, "But do you know where Oceanside is?" He's like, "Get in the car." And he's like, "Do you know where Oceanside is?" And then he also said he's been working for more than 8 hours and he doesn't have to go. These dispatchers didn't even know any of the taxi rules. They're just saying, "We're going to write you up. We're going to write you up. We're going to write you up." And it's like, where are they getting these people from? And these people never drove cabs. These people, his words, not mine, he said, "The people they're hiring now are straight hood." That's what he said. Not me, him. He said, "The people they're hiring now are straight hood." which means I don't know what that means. And I'm just wondering. I'm starting to wonder if the new dispatchers, if they have criminal records, if they've done something where they're hiring from, like, you know, folks who get out of jail or what, because they really have an attitude. They're really rude. They don't know where we're going. And it's just the whole demeanor, it makes me wonder, like, where are they getting the new dispatches from? I mean, it just and this is the day before the big demonstration.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So we shall see.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. What kind of a week has it been, Mike?
Oh, it's been very, very bizarre. I mean, just in general, topped off by the big taxi demonstration at JFK for immigration. Now, it'd be interesting if we had cab drivers defending their rights in general, like they did at Terminal 4, I think a lot of our problems would be over. And mm-hmm. I do want to find out where they're hiring these new dispatchers from, because I'm starting to wonder if they have criminal records, if they've ever driven a cab, you know, stuff like that, which historically they've checked out. But now when we have a new company in place, I like to find exactly where they're getting the new folks from. And I will do that. I will find that out, because okay. I'm not going to be getting tickets from someone who shouldn't be giving me tickets. Yeah.
Okay, you want to say that for a third time?
What?
Well, you just say, you just repeated the thing you said before. Okay.
Oh, well, delete it. just cut it out. Yeah.
I asked you, what kind of a week is it business-wise? Don't be mean to me. What kind of a week has it been business-wise?
Oh, business has been very good. I mean, I should. Now, this is the thing with me. You ask other cab drivers, oh, this is very bad. The Uber is killing us. Uber. It's like a rally cry. Uber is killing us. And maybe I should be smart and say Uber is killing us. But I think Uber is killing themselves. And the people are coming back to the yellow cabs. And uh-huh. I hope that the yellow cabs welcome them with clean cabs and quality drivers. And but I think a lot of these fleet owners just have the mentality of, we need more drivers. We need more. You don't need more drivers. You have to keep your drivers. And I've had this conversation throughout the week,
uh-huh.
you know, of keeping your drivers. And, I mean, their mentality is just pop them out like gumdrops. But you could, you know, in general, have a structure where you incentivize the drivers to stay and work in your garage. But, you know, some of these guys are like dinosaurs. You're not going to get through to them for anything.
Well,
so, but you were very good. You were very good with drivers. I know that much.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
what was I going to say? It's been suggested to me again that some of the fleets that have trouble getting all their cars out should hire drivers to work by the hour. In other words, if
I've always said that. I've always said that.
Yeah.
You know, I have a Zipcar. Zipcar is very good. It's an hourly thing where you can just take a car if you need for an hour, then off you go. But the one of the problems that one of the cab drivers on Dave's show was talking about this is that you go into a fleet garage or a regular garage now, you got to put a lot of money on your back. Like, if you want to, like yesterday, perfect example, I had to go to the taxi garage. I might have taken the cab for an extra shift. And I said, man, if I take this car now, I got to come up with at least A to Z, like $185. Because the car on a Saturday will be $134, then it's $11, $145, then $5 tax is $150, gas is $30. Let's say $25, $30. Then you got a tip of this. You don't have to, but you give a little coffee money to a dispatcher, and then you got to get something to eat. So you're looking at $200 before you make a dime. And I was like, man. But if it would have been a situation where it's like, well, I just work for 4 hours and make $60, that would be a different ballgame. They get cars out, but they refuse to do anything. This is the problem.
Well, this is a great solution to car sitting. Just. Lease them out by the hour, lease out a 4 hour shift, a 6 hour shift, an 8 hour shift, whatever mm-hmm. whatever the drivers want, or just tell them take the car and you can't work more than a certain amount of hours, and whenever you bring it back, you'll pay for the hours that you worked.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, let's say I had to go in there, and I could have easily worked. Let's say I went in there at 4 o'clock. Say, oh man, if I take a car now, blah blah blah. If I want to win there, blah, if I would have went in there at, let's say, 6:30 or 7 o'clock and worked till midnight, okay, I'll work 5 hours. I'll have maybe $100 of overhead on my back, and I'll make a few bucks, and goodbye. Right. But there isn't really a lot of there's, and that's where one thing where they complain about Uber. That's one thing where Uber is attractive to some drivers because they get their little Uber car, and they can go out and tool around for 4 or 5 hours, and that's all they have to do. They only have to work.
Well, you know, when I first broke into this business and we were paying commission, okay, it was $51.49. Okay, the drivers got $49. The fleets paid for the gas. Okay.
Right.
And you know, if you brought your car in early, you know, they wanted you to work a 12-hour shift, but you weren't compelled to do that. Okay. And and if you brought your car in early, there was always somebody at the garage waiting for a car to come in.
Right.
Okay, so the cars were getting out basically, you know, most of the 24 hours a day. Okay, now right now I'm looking at the Times Square webcam. Okay, beautiful sunny day in New York. I see. Okay, and I see more taxis on the street than I've been seeing.
Right.
What do you have to say?
Well, I guess the cabs are getting out, and I guess the Uber drivers are coming back. So we have a situation where the cars are getting out. I mean, they have to make a living driving somehow.
With all these people that are deleting Uber, Uber isn't going to be making much money. I'll tell you that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, no. But I mean, this is the thing. I mean, what is Uber's overhead? Uber's overhead are probably just investors, and you know, and as far as their company, they have a lot of mouths to feed. But eventually, the drivers are just going to come back because you just want to go out and make money. You want to make daily money. You don't want to have deductions. You don't want to have. And the other thing the drivers complain about, they have this dopey car every day. I mean, on the one hand, they can go out and say, "Oh, I only had to go out last night. I just worked for like 6 or 8 hours." So yeah, but then tomorrow, you still have to pay for the car. You still have to pay for parking and this and that. And like the cab, to its benefit, you can go out with a cab and then bring the car back and goodbye and just off you go. Yeah. And it's a very easy dynamic for renting a yellow cab. Uber, not so much because, you know, I've heard some horror stories with renting these cars and stuff like that. And they have daily rental guys working on the side. And I don't know how legal that is. I don't know at what point do we rein in the fast and loose stuff. It's starting to get a little weird.
Well, you know, they're a bizarro service.
Really?
You know, I mean, if yellow cabs are normal, they're the Uber's living in the bizarro world.
Right.
Okay. Well, how else
Uber
can I describe
bizarro.
It? You know, how else can I describe it? You know, we have we have rules, regulations for everything. Okay?
Right.
I mean, everything is covered. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, it's covered somewhere in the book. Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, now. Okay, now I'm looking at.
Got it.
I'm looking at there's a whole lot of taxis coming down 7th Avenue here. This is more than I've seen in weeks. Okay?
Wow, but are there any people? Are there people?
There's people all over the place at Times Square.
Oh, there are.
Yeah, wow. It's crowded.
I should jump. My driver on the weekend, he has the car for like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I should really. That's one thing I can go in and grab a cab a la carte, which the guys are very good with. Now, if I go in now and get a cab on a night shift, getting out early, then it works very well because I can work on Sunday from 12 to 12, and that's great. But if I have to go in at 5 and put $200 on my back, and then I have to scramble around until 4 in the morning with no people on the street. This is the problem with the cab. And like you were, I want you to go into detail for the people that don't know what the hell is going on about what it was like back in the days where you had some sort of commission basis. I mean, because I think the technology is there where part-time drivers can work a few hours on an hourly rate with commission or something.
Well,
so how'd that work?
Well, you don't need technology. You just need to write it down. The guy came in at 10 o'clock. You know,
right.
That's all. You know, I mean, what technology? You need a special smartphone for this? No. You just, you know, you go in, you get your car, and they say, okay, dispatch to 10 o'clock. Do you want to pay by the hour, or do you want to pay by commission?
Right.
Okay.
You know, it's funny you should say that because I'm saying to myself, I'm becoming one of the geeks. It's like, what technology? Just use your head and say it.
Yeah, right.
It's $12 an hour times five. It's $60.
We have an overkill of technology in this world. You know, right. Things got along fine before all this stuff came along. All right?
It sure did. Okay. Yeah.
You know, but you go in and you just, there's a guy dispatching the taxis, right? Most garages have a dispatcher, right? And any cars in the lot? Yeah, there's two. Which one you want? Take number three. Okay. Do you want to pay by the hour? Or do you want to pay by commission? And the driver will say, "Well, I much prefer commission." Okay. Okay. It's 60-40. You keep 60%, we get 40%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay for the gas. Okay. Unless you want to do 50-50, we'll pay for the gas. All right.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And then the guy goes out. He comes back 6 hours later, and you split up the money. And there's somebody else waiting there, saying, "Oh, I'm just waiting for the next car to come in." He's sitting there for half an hour. Finally, a car comes in. When you give the drivers the freedom of when to start and when to quit, you'll have a revolving door in that garage. You know, of guys coming in, taxis coming in, cars going out. All hours of the day and night, they'll be there 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for a cab.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I mean, this is exactly because That's one thing. There used to be a lot of garages where you could do that, and I don't know if they've, had the little, conversations with these other not to do it. But used to be you could go into some of these garages and say, "Listen, man, I just want to work a few hours. Here's $50. I'll pay for the gas. Goodbye." And they were happy.
Well, I used to do that all the time. I would show up on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, okay, and there's usually a car there. Or a car comes in within the next hour, okay?
Right.
And you get that car and you go out to work and you bring it back when you can't work anymore.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I was talking to one guy at a taxi garage. He said, it's really not worth it for us to do that." I say, "Look, pal, you're legally bound to provide public service with yellow cabs to get the cabs out. That's what the game is. You got to get the cabs on the street, get the cabs out. Because first of all, you got to service the public. That's what the taxi commission wants you to do when you get a cab to run. And second of all, you got to have coverage for people when they are there. I mean, you just can't all of a sudden have 300 cabs parked on the side of a street. The neighbors are going to get restless because they can't park their cars. And it's not a really good visual when you have 150 cabs parked in the street. So, I mean, if you can get a cab out at least for a few hours for, $60 or $70 or $80, and the cab driver knows instead of having $200 on their back, they'll have $100 on their back and they can make a few bucks, that's fine. Because, I mean, right now that doesn't exist. And it really ticks me off because, we don't get any younger in this business. And as an older guy, I don't want to be out there humping for a $200 nut before I make a dime. I mean, I would like to have some days where I can go out, and I just need like $85, $100 for some, some beer money, as the saying goes, and when I'm off duty, of course. This is the problem now. I mean, you get guys with 100 cabs. The guys don't drive them at all sometimes because they know if they drive this car, it's going to be a $200 proposition, which they don't want to deal with. So we have to start thinking in terms of maybe hourly leasing or commission or something for the part-time drivers who only want to work maybe 6 or 8 hours a day.
Mike, there is one entity that is doing that, and that's that those people out in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Right?
Who?
Who? We have them on the website.
Is he doing that? That's good.
What does it say when you go to page 2 of the website?
I'm going to go there right now. This is news to me. Let's see. What do I know, right?
You know, because you're the one that sponsored this.
That's right. Okay, so, I'll look into it. I mean, I'm so busy with all this weird stuff. Taxi drivers needed in Brooklyn. Name your price. Okay, so we're going to the website. There he is. Drivers wanted. He's out there. NYC Taxi Group. Right. And I think he did allude to something where you can name your price, leave with a car.
That's exactly what I just described.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Okay, you know, and he's doing. I hope he's making out well. Okay, it's a New York City Taxi Group, NYC Taxi Group. Okay, and the number is 718-253-3501. Name your price. It says right here, come in, name your price, leave with car. Okay, so anybody who lives in that neighborhood of McDonald Avenue near Avenue F, okay, which is not too, you know, if you live anywhere in around there in Bay Ridge even, or in Flatbush, or, surrounding areas, and you have a TLC license, you know, take a trip over there. Okay, call the guy up, 718-253-3501, and take one of his cars out.
Right.
Do yourself a favor. Do the industry a favor. Do Uber a non-favor.
Right.
Okay. You know, Uber counts on that we can't get our cars out. Okay, because people want the yellow taxi first.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then when we can't get our cars out, they're there with, oh, it's surge price time. Okay, that's what got him in trouble yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I'll tell you something else. It's one thing we have to really start thinking about in terms of, like, an hourly rate. And, you know, I mean, there are some times when, you know, like I said, you can have an hourly rate that would not supersede the lease cap. And
right.
You can also have a thing where if it gets close to the lease cap, you can have the option to keep the car for the shift price. Like if you, let's say you're taking a car at for $50-$60 and say, you know, it's very busy out here, I want to keep the car. Okay, keep the car. But this all or nothing leasing, we have to start talking about that. I mean, the reflexive answer is, how many cabs do you run? How long have you had a fleet? It's like, well, how long have I driven a cab? And look what's not happening. And there are some changes that have to be made, which the dinosaurs apparently do not want to or are unwilling to do. And it's not up to them. It's up to getting cabs out. That's what you're supposed to be doing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Well,
so how are you doing down there in your bunker?
My bunker is fine. It's raining today.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
it's raining in Florida.
You have a beautiful sunny day there in New York. Okay, I just saw that. I just saw that on the webcam. Okay.
Yes, we do.
You know, lots of yellow cabs in the sunshine in Times Square. Okay. And I'm sure they're circulating all over town.
Yes. Well, that might be a big part of the puzzle with cabs getting out today, and you know, everybody wants to run around in the sun.
Well, I always did well on sunny afternoons in New York City when I was driving. Okay, because everybody comes out. Okay, you know, somebody once told me when I was working for the fleet garage, you know, people, a lot of people are under the impression that it's the rainy days that the cabs do well, and one of the, you know, owners at the garage there that I worked for, 2222 Tilden Avenue in Brooklyn, you know, many may remember that address on the sides of the doors of the cabs going back a few years. Okay. He told me, and I did find this to be true. He told me that, it only helps if people, if they go out and they get caught in the rain. In other words, they go out on a sunny day and then all of a sudden a rainstorm comes out of nowhere. Right. That's when. But if it's raining all day long, people won't go out. Okay,
this is true.
Right, it's the sunny days when people come out and it gets busy, and I can see right now by what I'm looking at in Times Square, sunshine and yellow cabs on the street. Those cabs are busy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else. I've changed the dynamic. You go back away, so maybe you can concur with me on this. I found a few, and I don't want to say it because I still am driving, and it's part of my strategy, but I found a few very good places to sit and wait for fares, which I didn't do before. And, I mean, as far as these guys racing down 7th Avenue, going up 10th Avenue, down 7th, it's very counterproductive, and I've said many times that you can do okay if you find a couple of good. So I found one spot that's great. And I kind of like it, I like Kennedy Airport,
Mike,
but sometimes
Mike,
if it's not working.
Mike, you don't have to keep it a secret because you can't be there all the time. Let us know. What is it? Name the spot.
Okay. I do very well at the Time Warner Center. It's a very good session.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people come out of that building. I used to wait there. Yeah.
Right.
That was one of my waiting spots. Yeah.
Yeah, the Time Warner Center is good. I mean, you got people doing locals with food and stuff like that.
Right.
But I when it's slow, I'll drop and I'll drive back there on duty. Like, I'm not going to go off duty and go to the Time Warner Center. But it's kind of like the center of my little universe because it moves very well. The cops are pretty cool. They'll, you know, so long as you're not sticking out in the crosswalk, it moves a lot of cabs. And instead of racing up and down the avenue aimlessly, you can head over there. And there are a couple other fishing. I mean, you even got like Zay Bars on the Upper West Side. You can hang out there.
That's good. And that's good on Sunday mornings when people go in to get their bagels and lox and stuff like that.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, it has changed my game a little bit as far as just, you know, instead of racing aimlessly around the city, I can go to some of these places and just hang out. And, you know, and grab a, you know, like a $5 or $10 here and there. But it does tide you over for when it's busy again, especially during the slow time. And I never used to do that. And I see some of these guys, again, with the racing down, 7th Avenue and coming up 10th Avenue and then going back down 8th Avenue. It's like, stop!
The slower you go, the easier it is to find a fare. Okay?
Right.
And I want to say this. What's the name of that store? They have one is on Broadway just before 65th Street on the Uptown side, and then they have another one on 6th Avenue between, I think, 20th and 21st Street on the right-hand side. There's a store, I can't remember the name of that store. I used to wait there all the time. Okay, not Best Buy,
Bed Bath and Beyond,
right. Those stores, people are always coming out of there looking for taxis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on Sunday night, I used to sometimes wait by Trader Joe's on the left side on 6th Avenue, which was like around 21st Street, I think, just above.
Right.
Okay? And you want to know a great place to wait? I'm going to tell you a really, really great place to wait when it's slow. Okay,
right.
I remember, you know, especially like next Sunday is the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And usually when the Super Bowl is being played, the streets get very quiet on a Sunday night. Okay.
You got it.
Okay. Now I want all you cab drivers to listen to this. All right. I would wait. You would never think of this on your own. Okay. But I would wait. I would go up 6th Avenue, okay? And on the right side, just as you cross over 32nd Street, is the entrance to the PATH station.
Right.
Right there, I would sit and wait and get fare after fare after fare.
Really?
Yes.
Right at the PATH station.
Right. While the Super Bowl is being played and nobody's out on the street, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not very busy, okay? Right there, people would come out of the PATH station, and I wouldn't wait more than 5-6 minutes there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You just brought up a good point because there are a lot of cab drivers. I've always been fascinated by. There were a few guys I used to see on the street, as slow as it would be, and I know them from the garage. As slow as it would be, I'd always see some guy in the cab. It's like, where'd this guy get these people from? He's always somebody in the cab, as slow as it is. And I think there are little tricks of the trade that you have to be a student of the game. You have to find out what works and what doesn't work. Like the guy with the green lights. He knows all the green lights in the city, and he was, you know, he's trying to find out.
Let me tell you something. That is a bunch of BS that I could care less. And you know something? I've done that. I've done that at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have actually gone from 96th and Broadway all the way down to Wall Street on the streets, okay, without hitting a light. Okay.
Oh yeah, but I mean, there are stretches where you can do it.
But you know something. I wasn't trying to do it. But after a while, I realized, gee, I've gone through all these lights and didn't hit one red light. But this is 3 o'clock in the morning. All right.
Right.
I mean, so what does this guy want? An Academy Award?
I guess.
Yeah. Well, we'll give. How about we take his license away? All right.
Why?
Why? How many of those lights were actually red?
None. Those are all green lights. It's on YouTube.
I don't know. Well, what is this,
right
what, what is the big deal? I mean, you know, I mean, why do they stress how cool that is, right? So what's
the traffic pattern?
Mike, you know, it's so silly.
236 green lights consecutive. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out.
All right. I have a trophy.
And he's not running red lights.
I have a trophy here. Okay, I'm sitting on it. All right, waiting for this gentleman. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We try and do what we can. All these little tricks of the trade. But I mean, the bottom line is you have to right now. From what I've seen, it is a little bit of a game changer. And I've noticed also another one of my fishing holes, such as it is.
Yeah.
Is the Hudson Hotel. The Hudson Hotel I went to
on 58th Street
many times. 58th Street. And what happens is, if you sit in front of the Hudson Hotel, people play the app cars and the yellow cabs. They'll come down the escalator and they'll look to see if there's a cab sitting in front of the hotel. No cab, they're going app. They see a cab, they're going to hop in the cab.
Right.
And you're right, they do prefer a yellow cab because they know it's a metered rate and there's no BS.
Right.
So it's something we have to think about in terms of, you know, running down 7th Avenue, going down to everything is go down to Meatpacking, to the Village. Just sit in front of a place where you see some people. Eventually they're going to come looking for cabs. And, you know, I mean, you see these packs of cabs going downtown, downtown, uptown, downtown. Where are they going? I think they're just maybe a little bit new or they don't know the business. But
you
got to start being
stupid. The slower you drive... Yeah. The easier it will be to find a fare.
Right. Now it's not a
It's not a contest. Okay.
Right.
Let all of the cowboys run in front of you, and you find the people that are coming up the street, and missed all those cowboys.
Now this is very important. Now when you used to be driving on a regular basis, you said you used to do the opposite. You used to drive real slow.
Right.
Like how slow?
Like I would crawl down the street. I would make sure that all the taxis that were flying down the street got well ahead of me, and then I would drive by myself in the back. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that's how I found my fares. Okay, so basically, what I'm finding are the people that show up, you know, after they're gone and are waiting for the next bunch of cabs to come by. I find them first.
Right.
Because I'm there.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Right.
All right? You got it?
Well, that's good.
Okay, Mike.
I got it now.
Mike, we're running over time here. I want to tell people to do your taxes. All right?
Yes.
Okay, we have Taxi CPA, Tony Tax. Okay?
Tony Tax.
718-413-6126. Go to the front page of NYC Taxi News and you'll see his ad. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And he's a great accountant, knows what he's doing, and he wants to do your taxes, so give him a call. Okay?
Yeah. So we got some other ads, too. Some of the other guys.
Well, you got your Checker Garage, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and...
Checker.
And then you got Go Yellow. You know, when you see that ad on the front page of NYC Taxi News, the ad that says, experienced FHV drivers get your yellow license for free, okay, click on that. That takes you to a website, you know.
Right.
That's the MTBOT website, and, you know, there's a lot of good information there, all right? And you got Checker Management at their new location, 11:05 38th Avenue, Long Island City, 718-361-6300. Uh-huh. And, Mike, you work for Checker, right? They have a very, very great facility, don't they?
They have an excellent brand-new facility on 38th Avenue and 12th Street, so we're all very proud of that. And they've moved from from Jackson Avenue, now they're right off 21st Street in Long Island City. You can't miss it. It's right. It's got a gas station, easy parking, easy to get to. Very good.
Okay. What else, Mike?
There's a guy out in Brooklyn you can make your deal out there.
Okay.
The NYC Taxi Group. He's looking for drivers.
Right.
He can, you know, come come in, make your deal, so go out and see what's cooking with him.
Okay.
And also there's a taxi commission meeting this week.
Oh, yeah.
A week early from the usual middle of the month thing. So just anybody who's like a taxi meeting person, got to bear in mind that their meeting apparently has just been posted for this week.
Well, that'll be on Thursday.
Yes.
And you're gonna be there, Mike, right?
In spirit, yeah.
Yeah, in spirit. They should have it 2 o'clock in the morning.
Try and get there.
If they had the meeting at 2 a.m., you'd be there.
So, exactly. I mean, they should, if you ask me.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, just in general, if they had something going on around, 6 o'clock at night, that'd be great. But
I just want to end the show by saying there's a headline here on the news page, okay, and it has to do with Uber giving information to the city. And it says right here, here it is. Uber to launch new campaign against de Blasio over proposed trip data rules. In other words, we don't want to give you the information you want, and we're gonna spend $10-15 million to get the public convinced that you're stealing their that the TLC wants to know everything about you. Not true. Not true. Not true. Okay, they should be doing. They first of all, they shouldn't even be existing. But as long as they are existing, they should be giving the same information that the yellow cabs give. Period. End of sentence. Nothing else to say.
Right. I mean, we have GPS. I mean, we're just. That's again with the competitive, equal slate, because the taxi commission's like, we encourage competition. Great. You encourage competition. Same rules. Fingerprints,
mm-hmm,
and GPS. And you got to let us know where you are, because these people always know the patterns that cabs have because of our information.
Yeah.
They've killed us early on in the game because they knew exactly where our hotspots were, and we don't know what their story is.
Okay.
So, you know, this rally cry of, we have to have competition. Great. You want a competition? Everybody gets the same rules.
Yeah, but they're concerned with their trade secrets. Okay.
Yeah. They ain't got no trade secrets.
There's no trade secrets. Okay. Mike, say goodbye.
All right, goodbye. Everybody, good luck. Make money.
Yeah.
And fight the good fight.
Yeah. And delete Uber.
And delete Uber, yes. Keith, put that at the top of the list.
Yeah, delete Uber. Okay. Mike, I'll see you, and everybody have a good week, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
Arrivederci.
Okay, au revoir.
Goodbye.
Bye.